Thank you. Thank you.
So next on the agenda is the pheasant hunting marketing update with Emily and Kirk.
Hi, Commissioner Jensen. Hello to all the other commissioners as well, Secretary Hepler. My name is Emily Keel. I'm the senior advisor to Secretary Hepler and going to brief you here on the pheasant hunting marketing campaign that we've been running since July. As Commissioner Chairman Jensen mentioned, Kirk Holstein from the Department of Tourism is also with us today, and then Tania Baski, who is our department lead on all of our R3 efforts, recruitment, retention, reactivation, as well as our administrator for all of our education efforts statewide. You mentioned kind of in the beginning of this meeting, Sam Skillhouse and Secretary Hepler mentioned that while participation is down in terms of small game pheasant hunters, our campaign efforts to date have been successful in reaching the targeted demographics that we aim to reach when we launch this campaign and really where we're spending our money. Tania is going to speak with you guys in more detail to these metrics and display a quarterly report from July till the end of October, as opposed to just the monthly one that you've been used to seeing. We're still documenting that, and I'll follow up with you all in an email with that document, but there's a more telling story with this quarterly report that we want to continue to share with you. You know, we've been tracking the key performance indicators since July, and those are really these short-term goals that we hope to attain by mid-December in just getting this campaign started, and we are showing an increase across the board with those. So we're seeing an increase of 34% in site traffic, as well as an increase in 20% with our email subscribers, and then an 11% increase in our social media following on Facebook and Instagram. So up across the board there, and I think you'll be really interested to hear what Tania is going to report on next in terms of data and our license sales and how this is all kind of circling back to the efforts that we've put forth with the marketing campaign. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Tania.
That's great. And so Tania Baski, Division Staff Specialist of Education and R3 Coordinator. Thanks for the intro. And I cannot express how excited I am to share some of this data with you today. And so if I could ask Chris to pull up the visual for us, that would be lovely. All right, so here's our quarterly report. And before we get into this, I have a few definitions I want to provide to give you kind of the scope and context for what we're going to talk about. So we have all of our license sales across our entire licensing system. And people get into our licensing system all different ways. Sometimes they follow an ad. Sometimes they search us on Google. And sometimes they go directly to our Game, Fish, and Parks page. So that's kind of the broad picture. What I'm going to specifically talk to you about today are the people that got to our website to purchase a small game license using paid search. So what paid search is, you can go on Google and you can search specific phrases to help you find hunting information, Game, Fish, and Parks data, specific hunting details that will help you find your licensing information. So when you go in and you Google search that information, we have planted ads and links on the internet as part of our marketing campaign that have codes attached to them. And we can track those codes all the way through a customer's behavior in our licensing system. So we know exactly how many small game licenses were purchased as a result of following one of those ads from out on the internet into our licensing system. So what we're going to share with you right now is, of all of our campaign efforts, this is just the paid search effort and just the people who purchased small game licenses as a result. So I have to tell you today that we're excited to tell you that we, as a result of paid search, have driven 3,944 hunters to spend $333,825 on small game licenses. That's huge. We've never been able to track that information before. Return on investment is a huge component of what we're doing with this campaign, and we can measure it. So I hope you're as excited as I am. Of that $333,825, about $64,500 was in habitat stamp sales, and small game licenses specifically are about $269. There were more purchases that were made on large game licenses as a result of this as well. We know that our users aren't just small game users. They do all sorts of things with the department. I wanted to share some more breakdown with you of the people that followed these campaign efforts into our licensing system. The largest chunk of them were non-residents, responsible for about $292,000 worth of purchases. Our highest performing age demographic right now are 55 and up individuals, that are 55 years and older. I will say that those populations this year are underperforming versus how they've performed in previous years, while our 18 to 34 and 35 to 54 year olds are overperforming how they've behaved in our licensing system in the previous years. As you can see, males overwhelmingly are responsible for many of the purchases in our licensing system, with females around $14,600 worth of purchases. And that's something that we are considering to inform the future of our campaigns, which I'll speak to in a few minutes. If you could scroll down just a little bit more. I think the biggest takeaway for me here as an R3 professional is of all of these people that we've brought into our licensing system through this effort, we recruited 24% new hunters to make purchases. 24% of the people that came in to us had never purchased a license before. That's over 900 new people that purchased a small game license this year because of this campaign. That's over 400 new people, or 12%, that were reactivated. That's folks that hadn't purchased a license since 2017. So I think that tells a really tremendous story about these efforts. Last but not least, we always talk about return on investment with this and how important that is. So for every $1 we invested on paid search, we got $5 back as a return on investment, specifically in small game license purchases. So I think that's amazing. I hope you do too. The last thing I'd like to speak to is, as you saw above, our female engagement is lacking. And so we're using that information to inform where we want to take this campaign and how we are going to create future target markets. So female engagement will be increasing, and we've already started to add to our assets. Through photo shoots with Hunt Stand and other partners in this project, we've already started to increase the number of photos and ads that we have available to target women specifically. And you'll have an opportunity very soon to see many of these just wonderful products that we've had the chance to start to create. With that, and I don't know if we should pause here quick for questions before we move on to the next section. So commissioners, thanks for letting me share with you. And if you have any questions at this time, I'd be happy to take them.
Tanaya, will you be able to, after this year is over, determine from prior years who used to come, didn't come this year, and then be able to contact them and ask them why they didn't come and see what it would take to get them back in 2021?
Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Commissioner Sharp.
Mr. Sharp here. Good presentation. A couple questions. Are you giving them a monthly budget, or are we doing a pay-per-click?
Could you clarify for me real quick, Commissioner Sharp?
Sure, on paid search, what you can do is you can say, okay, I'll pay for $5,000 worth of referrals. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, my budget's unlimited, I'll pay for, you know, whatever comes in. Or for everybody that clicks on our link, I'll give you $120.
I got you.
There's lots of different ways to pay for paid search, budget-wise, per click. And then do they break that down on source? So you can see the time spent on our website by searcher.
Yeah, they've done the analysis. So on the Game Fish and Parks end, I won't be able to answer the specifics. I have, I believe Kirk's available from Tourism, and I don't know if we have anyone available from MMGY or Lawrence and Schiller to help answer that question, Emily.
And I don't need a in-the-weeds deal as long as, because one of the challenges of paid search, because in the auto industry, of course, it's very prevalent, is that sometimes your budgets can get out of whack because of how the referrals, if you will, are calculated. Yeah. So it, you really want to be paying attention to where your sources are coming from, how long they stay there, what's a true click, that type of stuff. So,
to be clear, we tracked purchases only, not just clicks and time, with this specific component of paid search that I reported on today. But if you would like a further breakdown of behavior while on our website, for example, that's something that we can get into in more depth when we meet a little bit later on this month.
Okay, that's great.
And overall, Commissioner Sharp, we invested $50,000 in paid search, but we can follow up on how that breaks down, as Tania said, because I think that would be good information for y'all to know, too.
Thank you.
Yep. Sure. Any other questions I can help with?
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, thanks, Tania. That was very interesting. Do you know the demographics of these, the people that did the purchasing that we reached out to with this? Is that similar to what we find, you know, in Minnesota, Wisconsin, or are you finding other areas that we're able to reach?
Are you talking about other, which non-resident populations are performing in this specifically?
Yeah, the 292,000 from non-residents, is that similar to the same areas that historically have been coming here for hunting and whatnot, or is this new areas that we're reaching? Just curious.
We do have those breakdowns, and Emily, I'll ask if Kirk is available to talk to some of the primary performing audiences for this.
Kirk Halstein here, Industry Outreach and Development Director for South Dakota Tourism. These efforts for paid search were also targeting those same states in the marketing plan that we've shared in previous presentations, and also the same audiences for our adventure hunting, which and lapsed youth, which are those two categories, the 18 to 34 and 35 to 54. But we could definitely drill down and share with the group in a follow-up email specifically what percentage of sales were by each of those states, if you'd like, just to show what kind of penetration we did have in those areas, in those geographic markets. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. That answers it. Yeah, thank you.
You bet.
Any other questions? Comments?
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Olson.
Thank you. Well done to the whole team. If we spent $50,000 this year and saw that type of ROI, I would suspect we're going to budget $200,000 for next year.
Go ahead.
And I misspoke too, because I think we combined that $50,000 with some other of our lead generations through social too, because I mean we have spent $65,000 to date, as Tania said earlier, but we have a little bit more of a spend there. And Tania, if you want to speak to any more on how we've planned to allocate this in the future, we haven't discuss that in full detail. I mean, we're going to have a work group meeting with our present hunting marketing work group on November 9th, and so that's possibly something that could come up then, too. Go ahead, Tania.
So, Commissioner Olson, there are many different facets to the campaign, and our main goal is to figure out what the most effective portions of that campaign are and to drill down on those and to make sure that we're putting our assets exactly where we can have the biggest return on investment. There are some things that aren't as easy to track as paid search. So print media, for example, radio, those are harder things that have an indirect impact that we still need to make sure we're present with. But absolutely, when it comes to digital, we have an opportunity to tune in and invest where we're having the biggest return on investment. We will be tailoring this campaign to meet those needs as we move forward. Anything else?
Can you remind me, I mean, we did do a survey, we haven't really talked too much about it, about who non-residents are and why they come here and who they hunt with, whether it's family, business, other. Are we looking at that at all as we do this effort? I mean, are these non-residents coming to hunt with family or friends or other, or would that play into motivating them to come back or getting those that didn't come this year to come back? Do you follow what I'm trying to get at?
I do. And I'll ask Kirk to chime in here as well, but as we've created all of these profiles for the customers that we're trying to intentionally reach out to, all of those factors played a role in how we are messaging to them. So there's market research that Lawrence and Schiller brought to the table, that tourism brought to the table, our knowledge of the license types that are being purchased was brought to the table, and all of that is playing into how we are tailoring our messages to our audiences.
Yeah, that's correct. We took everything we could get our hands on, from secondary research studies through fish and wildlife to previous game fish and park studies that have been completed. We brought it all together, including some use of our own system through a visitor engagement program that really tracks. We can dump records of past license holders into the system and specifically target right where they're at, as well as those that had a higher propensity for certain types of hunting versus others. We could target them. So we brought everything we had, every tool in our available to us to come up with this marketing strategy. So we used everything we could get our hands on.
Okay, thanks.
Sure thing. With that, I'm going to wrap up my portion of the presentation and pass the mic off to Emily. Is it Chris that comes next?
I'll take it here, if that's
there you
okay.
Go.
Chairman Jensen, are you okay if I just wrap up this portion of the agenda real quick?
Sure.
Okay. I just want to make sure you guys are aware of some other continued efforts that we've either I'll just go back to there we go. We've wrapped up our partnership with Shields right now in terms of the hunt giveaway for next year and that in-store promotions. Those are wrapped. Our partnership with Hunt Stand continues today. We also have Pheasants Forever and Quails Forever ads that will be part of the winter issues coming up here. Our paid social ads continue. Obviously, the paid search. Those are big, big pieces of the tactics and the strategies that we have going on right now. The site retargeting. And then one exciting piece that is really targeted at high-end hunters, while kind of a sidebar of the traditional and the youth and the lapsed audiences that we've been targeting, Covey Rise, it's a high-end hunter publication, is going to feature Governor Noem on the cover in this upcoming issue, as well as a 10-page feature article. And then that is also wrapped with a personal letter from her that invites people, in particular this audience, to work, play, and do business in South Dakota. So we're really excited to see that come out. We'll make sure that each of you have a printed copy of that when it does. So as a follow-up then, I'm going to send an email to each of you commissioners just documenting the one-pager that Tania talked through, our monthly report with our KPIs that I mentioned in the very beginning. And then also exciting to report out is we've been building on our video and photo assets. And so I'm going to share with you a 90-second video that we filmed over the course of 3 days during the resident opener in Central South Dakota. We visited 3 different preserves and produced, well, our agencies, Lawrence and Schiller, produced a high-end quality video that was actually showcased at the governor's hunt most recently, and then we're starting to now implement and use the photo assets that we've been building on and have needed for quite some time. So we'll share with you some of that. And then on November 9th, when we meet as a work group with 4 commissioners as well as some other folks on our team, as well as tourism, and then those within the communities and other partner organizations, will follow up in some of the questions that you asked on paid search and that non-resident survey too. So we'll also be talking about some late season pheasant hunting strategies and messaging that we intend to carry through on, as well as more of the plan results and you know, what we see going forward and how you guys can continue to be involved.
Okay, thanks. Any other comments, questions? So does that conclude this, Emily, and we move on to the license sale update?
Yes.